Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolfort. The Winter Olympics are here, and Alaska is sending its biggest group of athletes ever, with at least 14 headed to South Korea to compete, mostly on the snow. The cross-country ski team is especially exceptional, with half the U.S. team coming from Alaska, nine of them from APU's program. And equally amazing is that six of those skiers are going to the Olympics with their siblings, the Hahnemann brothers from Fairbanks, Caitlin and Scott Patterson, who we had on the show a couple of weeks ago, and America's top skiing siblings who lead off today's show, Eric and Sadie Bjornsson. I interviewed them last week from Austria. Later, we'll hear from their mom, Mary, who will share thoughts with another Olympic mom, Angel Mankari. Her daughter, Rosie, is a top snowboard cross competitor. And finally, I'll chat with skier Rosie Brennan, who is headed for her first Olympics, and her mom. Alaska has produced so many great athletes, and I want to learn how it happens. And that's all coming up today on Outdoor Explorer, Alaska Public Media's audio outdoor magazine. Well, for this segment of Outdoor Explorer, I'm really excited to have Eric and Sadie Bjornsson join us from Austria, where they are involved in World Cup skiing. Eric and Sadie are, of course, brother and sister and amazing Nordic skiers who are headed to the Winter Olympics in South Korea. They're in Seefeld, Austria right now and joining us via Skype. And everyone is really excited about the amazing contingent of Alaskans and all the siblings from Alaska going to the Olympics. But you guys have been having a pretty amazing winter skiing internationally. And so the Olympics is kind of stop along the way for you. But it also has to be feel pretty special, right, Sadie? I mean, it's not like just, and this will be your second time there, right?
Yeah, this is our second time heading for the Olympics. And for sure, the Olympics are, you know, they're one stop in a long 4 months of racing throughout the winter. But by far, they stand out as something really special. And just the honor of putting on a Team USA uniform and representing the country is certainly different than every other weekend throughout the winter. So we're definitely pretty thrilled.
Yeah, well, so Eric, this is the one time when your countrymen kind of pay attention. I mean, Alaskans pay attention to your sport, but this is your kind of chance to be, I don't know if I was going to say famous, but to be, you know, have people all over the United States watching.
Yeah, for sure. This is the closest we feel to being famous, I would say. And yeah, it's pretty cool. You hear from, you know, high school friends that you haven't talked to in like, you know, 8 years or whatever. They'll message you and be like, dude, congrats, you're headed to the Olympics and so excited to watch you. So yeah, for sure. It's like the Olympics are something very unique and special. And this will be our second one. And, you know, really looking forward to it.
Eric, do you think the second one will be different from the first in terms of your emotions and your ability to kind of deal with the pressure? Because it seems to me like being on that stage with the cameras running would add a whole new element of tension and stress.
Yeah, for sure. This will definitely have a different feeling than the first one. I mean, the first one, I was kind of right on the bubble of making the team. And so it was like, as soon as I got named to the team mid-January, it was like, all right, I mean, time to celebrate. Like, this is awesome. I'm just going to live it up. And it was so much fun heading to the Olympics. And I wasn't super focused on results. And I actually ended up having some good ones. My teammate and I ended up fifth in the team sprint. But it was just a ton of fun. I mean, I made sure to go to all the events and stuff that I could attend, and the opening and closing ceremonies, of course. But this one, I think it will be a little different just because I'm headed into it with some bigger goals. And, I've had some better results, and I like to think I'm one of the top guys on the American team headed there. And I'll definitely be, you know, going there to chase a medal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sadie, you're going to be in the same position, aren't you? I mean, you're definitely one of our very best prospects. And in this last World Cup race, you made it to the finals, were ahead of Keegan Randall. It seems like you've been doing really well. Does that put pressure on you this time to think that, you know, everyone's going to be watching you?
I don't know. I don't necessarily see it as pressure. You know, I think that as an athlete, the pressure you feel is more just the expectation you have from yourself. I definitely, you know, I've had some great results this year, and for the first time, I truly believe that I'm one of the best skiers in the world, and just achieving that level in your mind is a huge step for me. And so going into Olympics, I just want to go there and have fun and still have that belief. You know, we're definitely on a stage and there's a lot more excitement, and you have a new uniform on and everybody in the world is signing in, and so you have a little more nerves than normal. But what I've been thinking about for this past week is, you know, nerves are actually an incredible thing. It means that the race really means something to you, and it means that you believe you have a chance. And so I always embrace those feelings rather than let it overwhelm me. And so it's a really exciting position to be in. Growing up, I would have never, you know, I dreamed of going to the Olympics. That was my dream, but I never thought that I would be going to the Olympics with a goal of winning a medal. And so to actually feel, you know, feel the reality of that experience right now is really an incredible time and something that I'm sort of having fun with.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. So few people get that opportunity, especially coming from Anchorage, Alaska as a Nordic skier. It would have never thought, in the past, you know, to be on the team was considered very exceptional, and we didn't really expect those kinds of results, and now we're kind of dominating the team. So it's been an amazing transformation, and I want to ask you about that. But first, I guess, kind of curious, you said as a kid you thought about going to the Olympics, and maybe every kid does, but do you remember a specific memory of when that first hit you?
Well, for me, I remember when we had some locals come home from the Olympics. So we grew up in the Metha Valley in Washington, and we had a couple women training on the U.S. ski team and the Olympic team at the time. And when one of them came home from the Nagano Olympics, she rode in on this fire truck, and the whole entire town lined the streets and cheered for her as she came home. And I remember just thinking, wow, that's crazy. There must be so much honor, you know, with doing something like this. And it was just, to me, it became really exciting. And at that moment, I just thought, okay, I'm going to do this one day. I wasn't sure what sport I wanted to do it in. Originally, I really loved swimming, and so I was thinking it was maybe going to be there. But as I grew older, it definitely it shifted towards wanting to get there in cross-country skiing.
That's cool. Eric, I have to ask you the same question. Did you kind of get the bug very early to compete at the highest level?
I don't think it was quite as early as Sadie. I think it was more in like the middle school time, so maybe around 13, 14. And I specifically like remember riding to practice with my coach one day, and he told me, like, you know, you have a lot of talent, and I think it's possible for you to like reach the highest level in this sport if you like decide to get more committed and take this sport more seriously. And I think it was kind of at that point that I, like, you know, started to believe it. I was like, hey, maybe he's right. Like, you know, I've had some strong performances for my age, and maybe I am talented enough to, like, you know, maybe someday make the Olympics. And it was kind of around then that I, like, decided to take it more seriously and really chase that dream.
Yeah, very cool. It's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking to Sadie and Eric Bjornsson from Austria, and they are, of course, headed to the Olympics in South Korea, leading our U.S. ski team as a terrific Nordic skiers, and with their coming from Anchorage and a part of our huge contingent that we're really proud of from Alaska. And my name is Charles Wolforth. So which races should we be looking for you guys particularly? Tell us a little bit about your specialties and where you have the highest hopes of having a really good performance. Do you want to start, Eric?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, my goals are specifically headed towards the team sprint event, which is a race that you do three laps around a 1.5 kilometer loop, and every lap at the end you tagged your teammate, and then he goes. So we each do three laps, six laps total. And so that's the event I'll be headed towards, setting my goals towards. And so we were fifth at World Champs last year, and then we were fifth in Sochi in the 2014 Olympics. And both my teammate and I are feeling strong and ready. So, you know, we'll be hoping to go for a medal in that event.
Awesome. Sadie, what are your particularly best events or places where you're really hoping to make a mark?
The one that really stands out individually for me is the classic sprint. I had two podiums in classic sprint earlier this winter, so I definitely started feeling like I was finding my groove in that event. Sprints are kind of crazy in the fact that anything can happen, and so it will definitely, hopefully things work out well, and hopefully that's the one that I'm going after. But I also am really excited about the 10K skate. And then we have some really exciting team events, both in the team sprint that Eric was talking about, and also our 4x5 kilometer relay. The women have finished fourth place in the last four championships in the 4x5 kilometer relay. So that's definitely one that we've been targeting, and it's kind of a unique event because since there are four girls that are in this event, it definitely speaks a lot about your country and the development and the success, because to have four people have an outstanding performance on that specific day is really rare and actually quite hard, and I think that's why it's such a cool event. And then the team sprint this year is a skate event, so we definitely have a lot of really great skate sprinters in our country, so I think that'll be a really strong event as well. And we don't yet know who will be on the relay events, but no matter what, it's definitely going to be an exciting Olympics.
Well, I mean, what you're talking about is really interesting about this team depth. And it just brings up the question of, like, what's going on? Why are we, APU particularly, and Anchorage in general, having so much success in producing world-class skiers? And you guys are part of a crop, and also we're in a crazy situation where there's three sets of siblings on the team, which has got to be some kind of first, especially coming from the same small population here in Alaska. Sadie, do you have a sense of what's happening in Alaska in skiing, or maybe APU in particular, if you want to focus on that, that's causing us to really get to this new level that we haven't seen before?
Yeah, I mean, when I think back to when I first came to APU, I think it was 8 years ago now, and kind of the thing that drew me there was that APU had the best skier in the world trained there. You know, Keegan was there, and she was kind of paving the way. And so when I first started coming to APU, she definitely, you know, she opened her deck of cards and showed me how she trained and encouraged me along the way, and was super, I mean, she was an incredible leader. And I think it's sort of a domino effect. You know, you find this program that has this incredible leadership and a really supportive community. And when you walk into the grocery store in Alaska, people know what cross-country skiing is, and they know who Keegan is. You know, you're skiing down the street and the little kids are cheering. And I think that it's just this hotbed of really supportive people and people that are really excited. And I think that really generates success, and it creates an environment that people are motivated in, really. We have an awesome coach there at APU, Eric Flora, and from the beginning he's had this belief that he can, you know, train a team that can be the best skiers in the world. And I think between him believing in the process and then Keegan sort of starting things, and just this domino effect of all these young skiers wanting to come and chase after this dream, I think it's just created this whirlwind of, I don't know, amazingness.
Yeah, that's it. Sometimes when you've got something great going, it just gets bigger because other people want to be part of it. The other thing that is so unusual is to have siblings. You, Sadie and Eric Bjornsson, and then also the Hannemans and also the Pattersons, having the three sets of siblings. And it just sort of makes you wonder what's happening in these particular families. And I had the Patterson Scott and Caitlin right after their national championship win here in Anchorage, and asked them, you know, did they sort of, what's it like to be traveling and competing as siblings? And also, you know, how did this come about? You know, is it just because you guys have the same genes? Is it because you had, you know, parents who pushed you, or what the factor was? Do you have ever thought about that, Eric? Like what happened to you and Sadie that made you both among the best skiers in the world?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it tends to be kind of like a family sport, cross-country skiing. And so you do end up having like more siblings than you'd expect that are, you know, strong in the sport. And we see there's a few siblings racing over here on the World Cup. And I think it's, yeah, for sure, it's, you know, having growing up with Sadie and like taking kind of the same path as her and having a role model, you know, I think that, it just made it natural for me to kind of head that direction, is like see her, you know, competing over here at World Juniors and stuff like that, and just seeing like the fun path it was that I think that for sure it had an effect on me. And I think that you can see that in some of the other siblings from Alaska, like Reese and Logan and Scott and Caitlin. So I think that you could, if you asked all the younger siblings, they would probably say, like, you know, they were inspired by their older one and kind of chased the same dream. And also it's just like a family sport among all of us.
Yeah. And we're gonna have your mom on later on the show. And so we can ask her the same question of,
Ask
Mary Bjornsson what magical thing she did that all other parents would want to do. But Sadie, do you guys compete with each other? I mean, are you chasing each other? How does the relationship work out there traveling in terms of how you are bringing out the best in each other as skiers?
Oh, yeah. It's been a competition in life since we were quite young. Whether, you know, that's just kind of the way that we were raised. There were three. We also have an older sister that's a year and a half older. And so to have three close siblings like that, you know, everything became a competition. Who could run to the car the fastest? Who could balance on the 2x4 the longest on the job site? Or it's just everything was this natural, fun competition. And I think that's sort of where Eric and I developed our competitive nature, I would say. When we were pretty young, we were the same speed until we were probably 14 years old. So we were actually racing each other. And I remember the first time Eric beat me, he said to me, "You'll never beat me again." And that's true. I never did beat him again. He became better. So then we had to find a new competition. And it's actually been so fun that we're both on this path, because we're racing on World Cup, and you know, we're both encouraging each other to reach a higher level. And as I said at the beginning of the show, Eric had a really awesome weekend this past weekend in Seyfeld. He had his first top 10 results, so he got 9th place. And the boys actually raced before the girls, so he definitely set the bar extra high for me in that race on Sunday. And as I crossed the finish line, I, you know, my first reaction was like, oh, okay, I'm done. And my second reaction was count the number of people laying on the ground in front of me to see what place I was, to see if I beat Eric today. So it's definitely, you know, it's that healthy competition that really, I think, lifts us to higher levels, and definitely is part of the magic of why we've had success kind of together, is just, you know, to have that person beside you who's encouraging you extra amounts is definitely really, really awesome.
Yeah, I love that story. And actually, you're nice enough to say, not to say it, but you did. You were closer to the front than Eric was, because I think you were 6th, right?
I was 8th.
8th,
that day,
okay.
So, and he was 9th, so I barely got him. But I have to say, I had him to thank for that, because he definitely made me believe that day was possible in a distance skate race. So it was kind of cool.
Cool. So we're now not that far away from the opening in South Korea. That's a long flight from Austria to South Korea. I imagine you're probably done racing, because you're saving it and you're getting ready. What happens between now and then? I'm just curious, because you must be peaking pretty well, because you're doing so well in your World Cup races. Will you just put your head in a bag to keep from getting sick, or what will you do between now and when your races begin?
So we're in Seyfeld, and we'll be here until Saturday. So that's just under a week to go. And between now and then, we'll probably fire up one set of intervals, so one set of like intensity skiing. But for the most part, we're just trying to shake out the legs, go out for one easy ski a day, and then kind of go for a jog in the afternoon. But yeah, definitely trying to stay healthy, doing everything we can. And then the travel day should be a fairly long one. But yeah, then once we get to Pyeongchang, we'll have a week. And so then it's kind of getting the body back and warmed up and getting adjusted to the time zone. And so we'll probably have two sets of intervals in Pyeongchang before our first races.
And so that's actually kind of a lot of downtime compared to your usual schedule, I imagine.
Yeah, I think most of the team, including us, we've been doing quite a bit of training the last few weeks. So it's just kind of the typical taper plan for most athletes is to kind of have a lot of volume and intensity for like four weeks to 2 weeks out. And then it's kind of drop the volume and the intensity and rest up. And then hopefully you kind of have a boost of energy right around the race time.
Absolutely. Sadie, you plan to get back to Anchorage anytime soon and get the kind of, you mentioned the adulation that you saw an Olympian get in your hometown when you were a kid. Get back here and accept some of the Anchorage applause and support?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't get to go back to Anchorage till after, you know, right after the Olympics, we jump back onto the World Cup for three more weeks of racing at the end of the season. And then we head to Vermont for our spring nationals. So we don't get back to Anchorage till end of March, beginning of April. So yeah, we're definitely looking forward to getting back there and sharing some excitement, and hopefully sharing some super amazing times with them. But yeah, last year, you know, 4 years ago, it was really nice to come home and see all the excitement. We definitely, we kind of hear it in a way through the internet over here, but to see everyone's faces and all the pride and all the love, it's definitely rewarding to see that in person.
Yeah, yeah, you'll probably be able to hear us cheering all the way from South Korea, so.
Yeah.
I think so. Well, great. I mean, I just realizing that when you get to be a world-class skier, you don't get to ski in your hometown that much anymore because you're always away. But you probably know every twist and turn on the local trails here in Anchorage anyway.
Yeah, for sure. It was sad to not be there for nationals because it looked pretty fun and beautiful. But it looks like our team definitely carried up all the carried all the weight.
Yeah, the Alaskans just crushed it and swept. It was amazing.
Yeah,
great.
Totally.
Well, thank you so much. Have a terrific trip and have fun at the Olympics above all, you know, and I think Alaskans will be cheering for you and just really proud regardless of what the outcome is. So thanks so much, Eric and Sadie Bjornsson.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
They're joining us from Seefeld, Austria. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth. Please stay with us. We're going to be talking to more Olympians and Olympic parents as Outdoor Explorer continues. It's Outdoor Explorer. I'm Charles Wolforth, and we're talking about the Olympics on today's show. It's so exciting to have all these athletes from Alaska more than ever before going to the Winter Olympics in Korea, and also talking to the moms, the Olympic moms who, let's face it, helped make this happen and now are watching their kids go and do something that they probably could never dream of doing themselves, which is always a great part of being a parent. And right now I have Mary Bjornsson on with us. She's the mom of the two great athletes we were talking to in the first segment, the Bjornsson siblings who joined us from Austria and are probably the best sibling skiers in the world right now. And we also have Angel Mankari, whose daughter Rosie Mankari has qualified in the snowboard cross and will also be competing in Korea. And Angel, it's Rosie's first time, right? I mean, this is the first time going to the Olympics, and it must be almost unreal for you to think about her doing that.
Yes, it's her first time. She has had this goal since she was about 14, ever since she started really competing. And she has pursued it, and I can't be more proud of her.
Yeah, and she just made the team, right? It's not like she knew she was going.
Right. She had a little bit of a rough ending in Turkey, and she went and didn't do so great. And her teammate below her, who she's been beating for a couple of years, actually did well that day. So it was a really tight line for sure. Megan actually beat her by 5 points for the two top qualifiers. You have five top qualifiers to actually go to the Olympics, and they pick the two top ones. And Megan beat her by 5 points. And I was just... You know, you have so many emotions. You're like, oh, my gosh, is she not going to go? She's worked so hard. But now, you know, they took both of them. So I'm super thankful for that. And she is just on top of the world, to say the least, along with the rest of us.
I'm sure you are. Yeah. So, Mary, Eric and Sadie have been to the Olympics before, but I can't really ever be old hat. Is it the second time? Does it feel as exciting as the first time?
It is really exciting. It's especially exciting this year because the U.S. Nordic team is exceptionally strong. It's just unbelievable. I fully suspect they'll come home with more than one medal. All the women have potential to medal, which is pretty exciting. Anyhow, the girls that have been on the World Cup team, they're also taking other athletes, which is great for the experience. And the men also have some great potential of medaling in a couple different events. So it's probably even a little bit more exciting this year because, you know, our hopes are that we see some medals coming home.
In talking to Eric and Sadie, they were talking about how their competition is siblings and racing one another. When they were younger, they were actually racing in terms of who is fastest, and then Eric obviously got faster than Sadie, and now they race to see who's going to be more towards the front. And I'm just curious as to whether you feel like that competition between them was a big driver, or what do you think is the biggest thing that made both of your kids be two of the very best in the world?
There probably are several factors. I had them outdoors doing things at a very young age because I love the outdoors. So we would build houses. My husband is a general contractor, and we built some spec houses just so we'd have some money to send them to college. And so we named the houses as we go. We have three children, and our oldest daughter has never been quite had the competitiveness that Eric and Sadie did. But we would, as our family was out and about all the time, I'd be like, okay, who can get to the car the fastest? And so I think that making that our everyday life, which it kind of was, caused them to be more competitive. And I just, not every child loves that. And they certainly did like that, you know, that feeling of, okay, I can beat you.
Uh-huh. Did you sort of have Olympics as a goal or have elite athletics as a goal, or is it just something that happened?
It's absolutely something that happened. Sadie mentioned sometime we did have a moving into our area when the kids were probably 10 years old, to 10 years old.
Yeah, she mentioned and, that, watching the parade and being inspired by that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, they never really shared that with us. And I can remember even when the kids were in high school and we were going off about to races really before they started racing with the Met How team, we took the kids to lots of races just for family fun. We did lots of swim racing, lots of cross-country running, and we traveled around the state with them. And then we took them out to the East Coast several times to race against the Bill Koch Festival kids, which was Sophie Caldwell and Ida Sargent and many of the kids. So they've been friends with them since a very young age.
It's a real culture of it, isn't it? Yeah, let me turn to Angel and ask kind of the same question. Angel, did you have in mind that you wanted Rosie to be in the Olympics? I mean, was that sort of something that you planned on, or did it sort of happen?
Well, I think as a parent, you don't really plan on your child going to the Olympics. It's something that they have to really want. It's her drive that has gotten her where she is today, but without a doubt. Along the way, you know, she's had some great coaches like Allison Sterling. She was amazing. She started Big Alaska down in Birdwood, and that's where Rosie first got into it. And she dedicated her life for probably 10 years with no pay for those kids down there. It's people like that that have encouraged my child to be the best that she could be. And she loves to compete, without a doubt. She has a competitive edge about everything that she does. It's just something that is bred in that child.
were you a big skier or boarder? Did she sort of like follow in the footsteps, or how did she find her way to the slopes?
I never have been to any other ski resort besides Alyeska when I moved to Alaska. I got injured playing soccer as a young child, but I was very competitive in soccer and swimming, my husband in football and wrestling. And so that part was, you know, I guess we are a competitive family, but she has definitely taken it one step above everybody else, by all means.
Yeah, for sure. So we were talking a little bit about the excitement and even anxiety you must feel watching competition, especially in snowboard cross, which is such a sort of rough and tumble and unexpected, and you know there's so much action involved in it. I'm just curious, that's how you feel when you're watching these races.
Oh, I'm a mess. I'm like super excited, but I have a lot of fear for it, too, because they are going so fast. And, you know, one bad wipeout could end her career, you know. And but she absolutely loves it. She has been doing, like, Christmas shoot and everything at Alyeska since she was, like, 10. I get to the top of that, and I'm, like, freaking out.
That's right.
But she has always been that child to say, I want to do that, and she pursues it, and no matter what it is.
Yeah. Will you be heading over to Korea?
I am going to Korea. I'm going for 2 weeks. I'm going for opening ceremonies and to watch her race, and then I have to come home before closing ceremonies.
What a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I just think that, and all of Alaska will be there sort of cheering you on from a distance. Is that something for you as well, Angel, that Rosie is sort of away competing on the other side of the world a lot of the time, so you ended up really not seeing that much of her?
I don't see her hardly at all. She left here in August, came home for 1 month, and she's been gone since like October 6th, I think. And she came home for Christmas for a week, and then the rest of the time she's either in Salt Lake City, that's kind of her home base now, that's where the Center of Excellence is for the ski and snowboard team, and then she's been on World Cups all over the world. She went to Argentina for a month. She in the month of December, she was in France, Austria, then Italy. She's just all over the place.
So this, once
I wish
you,
I could go with her to all those places.
Once they get into this, this is all-consuming, and they kind of are gone. Is that kind of the same thing for you, Mary, in terms of seeing Eric and Sadie? Once they got into being elite international athletes, you kind of don't see them again that much until they retire?
Exactly, you know, and that's the sad part about it. There's so much to be happy about for sure, but, you know, I don't get to see my kids enough. Sadie was home just a couple days last year. Eric actually was probably home twice for 4 or 5 days each time, so that was really great. But generally, I do not see them very much. They're in Europe all winter, and then after they come back for the Super Tour Finals, which the whole U.S. ski team participates in, and then they basically have 10 days off, and they don't ever come home for those 10 days, which I can totally understand.
Yeah, such a long way.
They both have mates and friends, and, both of them are engaged, and so they don't get to spend near enough time with their partners even. So, you know, they love them. They would love to come home.
Yeah,
but
there's some sacrifice involved in it, too. Well, Yeah, so we won't feel total envy, but congratulations to both of you. What a wonderful thing to have your kids be able to do, and what a great memory you're going to have of seeing them performing in the Olympics, and we hope win a medal. But what, you know, just being an Olympian by itself is a huge accomplishment and something you can, I'm sure, are super proud of. So thank you so much for being with us, Angel Mancari. Thank you.
Thank you.
And Mary Bjornsen, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much. Yeah. We wish everyone luck over there. And once an Olympian, you're a hero to all of us.
Permanently, yeah. Yeah, you're once an Olympian, always an Olympian. And that's such a great life accomplishment for them to have done at such an early age. Well, thanks so much. And we will be cheering from Alaska for our what we'll think of as our Alaska Olympic team. So
Alaska strong.
Thank you so much.
There you go. Okay, please stick with us as Outdoor Explorer continues.
You're listening to Outdoor Explorer on Alaska Public Media. Find the show anytime as a free podcast in the iTunes store or connect with us online at alaskapublic.org.
Well, we continue Outdoor Explorer today with more Olympians and Olympic moms. And right now I have on the line with me from Skype, Rosie Brennan, who has made the Olympic team in Nordic skiing. She's there for World Cup competition. And in Utah, her mom, Wiggy Brennan, who is in Park City and is planning to head over to Korea. By the time you'll hear this, probably is in Korea because we're recording about a week ahead of time. And thanks to both of you for being with us. Thanks for taking the time, Rosie. I guess it's probably nighttime there by now.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And thanks, Wiggy, for being with us from Utah.
My pleasure.
So, Rosie, tell us about getting ready for your first Olympics. I can hardly imagine how exciting it must be.
Yeah, you know, cross country is a little different. We don't have a trials. It was kind of a period of time in which we could meet certain criteria to qualify for the game. So because of that process, it was kind of a slow realization that I was going to make the games. It wasn't like an overnight thing. So I guess I've had some time to process it, but it definitely feels a lot different once it becomes official and they name the team and your name's on there and everything's set in stone. It makes it feel much more real.
Yeah.
So it's been an exciting couple weeks kind of experiencing that and seeing all the excitement from all the other people that have been named to the team as well.
Oh, for sure. How long have you been an elite skier or a skier who is focusing on this as a major life goal in terms of being sort of at the top of the world skiing community as opposed to someone who might be, you know, a competitor in high school or college but might not be thinking about the Olympics or other world competition?
Yes. So I actually got a pretty late start in cross-country skiing compared to most of my competitors. I didn't start till I was 14, and really, probably by the time I was 16, I knew that this was what I wanted to do, and that I wanted to be one of the best in the country and hopefully the world as well. And I did race. I raced NCAA for 4 years after high school, and so from a truly professional standpoint. I began in the fall of 2011, kind of with my sole purpose being ski racing at the highest level.
That's still a pretty long road and a lot of dedication. And cross-country skiing is one of those sports where you really have to work a long time to get the international level. There's no overnight success. But Wiggy, I'm just interested in asking you the same question about your excitement level. I can hardly imagine what it's like to see your kid go off to the Olympics.
Well, yeah, it is very exciting. I mean, it's something that we've always had in the back of our mind since you started skiing. You know, like any parent, you think, oh, my child's so fabulous, she's going to go off to the Olympics. But the reality is it's a really tough road. So now that it's finally happened, it's really thrilling.
So you probably don't see her that much because she's constantly traveling internationally as a skier.
Right. You live Alaska, of course, in the summertime training. So, no, I don't see her that often. Not enough.
Right. So, but you'll be flying over to South Korea to see the games, and I think it would almost be so exciting that it would be a little bit nerve-wracking when you're watching Rosie competing and really being at this world level. Is there any anxiety involved in just sort of like wanting her to do well so badly?
Oh, definitely. There's a lot of anxiety, mostly just because for her I want her to do well, not so much for me, you know. And so, but I do, you know. A lot of times her races happen in the middle of the night, and sometimes wake up, I'll check the results or whatever, just because it just is always in your mind. You're thinking about it and how she's doing, and you know. So this year it's been good because there've been a lot of good results. So
yeah, she's been doing fantastically, and there's the true skiing aficionados here in Anchorage will watch the webcasts of these races in Europe and get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the skiers come across the line. We've got some very very intense ski fans in Alaska. I'm sure you'd probably do that.
I'll get up, but yeah. Oftentimes they'll be, sometimes you can see them at 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that. So that works out pretty well. But
yeah. So you were, Rosie was talking about becoming interested within 2 years of getting on a ski team, of wanting to really make it a career and really push it. Do you remember that, Wiggy? Do you remember her sort of getting that passion and what that was like?
Sure. The funny thing is, I was always the one pushing her to go into cross-country skiing, and she was pretty involved in gymnastics and really wasn't interested in listening to me. And then her coach moved away, and she was looking for something else to do. And I said, oh, try cross-country skiing. And she did, and immediately was like totally taken with it and just loved it. And, you know, I knew nothing about it, and she was telling me about how there's this, you know, junior nationals every year, and they're in different places and these different competitions. And I'm thinking, oh, you know, it'd be so great if maybe by the time you're a senior, you'll go to junior nationals. And of course, the next year she goes, and the year after that, she wins them all. So it was amazing to see her transformation into a competitor. So,
did you have any warning that was going to happen, or was it something?
No, I had no clue. I mean, it just kind of snuck up on me that she was as good as she was. I was just looking for something to keep a teenager busy, so.
Interesting. Rosie, this is a tough question probably, but why do you think you are such a good skier? Because, I mean, obviously there's this huge amount of dedication and training. Most people don't have the personality to be able to do it, but there's also got to be quite a bit of simply physical talent there. What do you see as the main factors in your success?
I think it was more just finding endurance sports, really. My mom said, I'd done some gymnastics, I'd done like soccer and a little bit of alpine skiing and things like that, but it's a different kind of work that an endurance sports take, and it was the first time that I had experienced that when I joined the ski team. And it's the kind of work ethic that is truly just, it's very individual. So, you know, it just took me sitting down with my coach, coming up with a plan. I knew what I had to do every single day. And I knew that if I did those things every single day, that I would improve and I would get better. And that just really, I don't know, it stuck with me. It was something that just really connects with me. And I also just, we always grew up camping and biking and hiking and doing all kinds of things outdoors. And cross-country skiing is just like a great way to do those things. Summer training, we get to just be outside all the time. And so I think that also helped. It was just, you know, it was a nice way to enjoy the outdoors and also accomplish training at the same time. And so it just, I don't know, it just made a real impact on me. So I just started setting goals and it worked. I would work towards them. And when I did the work, I would reach my goals. So it was easy to keep going then.
Positive feedback loop, absolutely. Well, you talk about work, and I'm curious, as an athlete, and this is essentially your job, and you do it, you're skiing all the time, you're traveling international skiing all the time, and then working out all summer to be in top condition. Is it still fun? I mean, do you still get pleasure from skiing and from doing, you know, pursuing this, or is it all work?
No, it's still lots of fun. I think that's one of the best parts about being a cross-country skier as opposed to, like, you know, maybe another endurance sport like track running or something like that. Because we have the ability in the summer, like, I get to go run in the mountains, and I get to mountain bike, and I get to do all these other things that aren't just running laps around a track. And to me, that's, like, I love the adventure of ski training, and I think that's part of the reason that I can still find the fun and the joy in it. And, you know, racing, sometimes it's like when you spend 5 months living out of a suitcase in Europe, it starts to feel a little more like work and less fun. And I've learned that, you know, when that starts to happen, you have to kind of figure out a way to make it fun again. So for me, it's the adventure in it. So I have to go, you know, find a trail I haven't done before and go on a little adventure ski. Or sometimes it is just, if, you know, unfortunately, we've had a lot of bad winters over here. So sometimes it's hiking a mountain or something like that, to kind of bring me back to why I started this in the first place. Mm-hmm. But yes, for the most part, it's still fun.
Well, I'm glad to hear it. And you mentioned sort of the adventure and the outdoor aspect. Does Alaska play any part in your development and the fact that you've gotten to where you are, and just the fact that you have competed and been part of a team here?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, there's no question there. When I graduated college, I wasn't even sure if I really wanted to continue to ski. I'd had a lot of trouble with injury and things throughout college that kind of left me questioning if I still wanted to do this. And Sadie Bjornsson was actually a really close friend of mine as a junior ski racer. And she was actually the one that convinced me to come to Alaska and try APU out in the program. And it's definitely been just life-changing for me. I mean, for one, yes, Alaska is full of adventure. Every single day is an adventure, even just when you're training in Kincaid. Sometimes there's you know, a crazy moose or something to keep it exciting.
That's right.
You know, then to be part of a team that, you know, is arguably the strongest women's team in the country and probably one of the strongest in the world, and to have Eric Flores as a coach, he's the eternal optimist and keeps us just always hopeful and looking towards the next big thing we can accomplish. It's been a really incredible experience. And I have to admit, too, which my mom will probably agree, even though she's from the East, but having spent 4 years in the East, people just aren't as welcoming out there. And I was like, I've been incredibly taken aback by how strong the community has been in Anchorage and how welcoming everyone was from the day I arrived and continues to be as I follow my career. So it's been really great.
That's good to hear. That's good to hear. It's Outdoor Explorer. We're talking with Olympians today on the eve of the Winter Olympics. And with me right now is Rosie Brennan, Nordic skier on the APU team representing the United States. She's joining us from Austria for this interview, where she's coming to us via Skype, and her mother Wiggy is with us by phone from Park City, Utah. And while I've got you both here, I just want to hear what you have to say about your relationship and how it has affected Rosie's success in her skiing career. And I guess I'll start with you, Rosie. Tell me about your mom's role in helping you reach these goals. What was and I'll just leave it as open-ended as that, and you can just sort of take it from there.
Okay. Well, my mom is very active herself, and very much an outdoor enthusiast. So I think growing up, that was a pretty normal thing to get your exercise every day and to be outside every day. So I think that definitely made it easy to understand training, because that was just kind of a normal thing growing up to have my mom be out working out for her own pleasure and to enjoy the outdoors. And I don't know, I guess I'm lucky. My mom and I never really had a you know, horrible teenage years where we fought incessantly or anything like that. Right. We always have gotten along pretty well. And she's always been incredibly supportive of all my choices and certainly of skiing. And it's a great thing when I come home because she loves outdoors too. You know, we can actually do stuff together outside, go biking and hiking and running and things. And that's always really special to share those things with your mom as well.
Of course. I mean, you probably have to go a little bit slower. I know my kids sometimes have to make adjustments for me. You would have to make adjustments for everyone. Wiggy, tell me, what did you do to encourage Rosie? It sounds like you created a bit of a culture of exercise and outdoors. I think parents wonder how to get their teenage girls, especially, to keep active and to keep doing things. Did you have to push her at all?
You know, I really didn't. A lot of times it was holding her back. So I think she was unusual as a teenage girl because of that, and I don't know if it was the way she grew up or... but anyways, no, she definitely... I just kind of let her go because I never had to force her to do anything. And when she started skiing, she was a very dedicated training and all that stuff, and... I just felt like my role was just to be there to always support her and, you know, tell her to just keep trying, but she always seemed to find to do that herself, so.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you created a culture in your family of outdoors and being active. Sometimes I sort of look at parents who are complaining that their kids don't do anything, and I think, well, do you do anything, you know? But you are out there doing stuff, and that's probably step one.
Yes, it definitely is. I totally agree with that. If you're not outside enjoying it, then how can you expect your children to do that? So, mm-hmm. And especially this day and age when so many kids are so plugged into everything, it's really important. And, of course, it helps growing up in Park City because so many people are that way as well. It's a very outdoor community.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you ever have any qualms about skiing as a career and as a life? Because it is so all-consuming, I think even more than other sports, the need for constant fitness training is unremitting, and the travel is, once you get up to this high level, is kind of endless. And it seems like there must be a lot of sacrifice involved in that as well. And if you are Rosie and you have so much success, then you can certainly see the benefit. But she might not have been such a success. You know, as a parent, you didn't know that. What the end point would be at the beginning. Did you ever sort of wonder that she was investing, worry that she was investing too much in the sport?
Not particularly. I mean, the one thing that her father and I kind of required of her was to get a college degree. And, you know, it was wonderful to have the opportunity to be able to ski in college so that she could, you know, continue doing what she loved as well as getting an education. And then when she graduated, it was like, okay, go for it, sweetie. Whatever you want to do, just do it because this is the time to do it. So.
Yeah, and it sounds like she was such a self-starter that you really just had to support her and let her know that she was great and that you were behind her, and then she kind of did the rest.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's really easy that way.
So, Rosie, tell me about what your winter has been like and what your goals are going into the Olympics. What are your best events and what are you hoping to accomplish?
I definitely am a little more of a distance skier than a sprinter, but I find every year to be a little surprising. In the past, my best have been classic distance races, and this year I've had really good skate results, and I've actually had some good sprint results too. So I think I've learned to just take every opportunity you can get and hope for the best, hope you've prepared well for everything. So that's been a little interesting this year.
That's great.
In terms of the Olympics, you know, our team is just so strong. We have so many women that are potential medal contenders. So I guess I'm trying to go with the same philosophy and just take advantage of any opportunity I can to have a race start. Even you know, at the Olympics, we only get to start 4 people in each event. So it's very competitive to even get to start a race. My ultimate goal is to be part of the 4x5 kilometer relay team. The team event is something that our team really has targeted over the years, and is also something really special. I think just because our success is relatively new as a team, and I think doing well in the relay is shows, you know, not just that you have one star, but that you have a whole team of really strong women. And, you know, we also spend so much time together that it, I think it has a little special meaning to us. So I would like to be part of that team, but it that's a big goal. So I'm hoping for the best.
As teammates, yeah. So will the coaches just sort of select based on what your record has been like over the winter? Because you won't really, I mean, it's kind of too late for you guys to be competing against one another, right? Because you need to be resting now.
So they look a little bit at our results so far this year, what events we've been excelling in, and then what kind of our trend is, if we've been trending up in our results or trending down. And then oftentimes we won't know if we have a race start until as late as the night before. So it's a little stressful time period at the games. But for the most part, we're all just trying to be ready for anything, and I will certainly be ready to jump on any opportunity I have to race.
Yeah. So we in the public won't really know until we kind of see people lining up or the day of the race, what's going to be, which of you guys will be out there, huh?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, some people are a little more of shoo-ins than others. So there'll be, yeah, some people will know their events much sooner than that. But yeah, the full roster for each event won't be entered until the day before.
Mm. This will be your first time at the Olympics. I would think that I'm just wondering if you're going thinking, I want to have a lot of fun, I'm going to keep my eyes open, or if you're going thinking, I got to keep the blinders on and focus on my sport so that I'm ready.
A little bit of both. You know, sometimes distraction is the best thing for success.
That's right.
But also, you know, finding that balance between a good focus, but also enjoying yourself and enjoying the experience. It's interesting. I've been thinking a lot. So when the 2002 Olympics were in Salt Lake, I was growing up in Park City then. I was in seventh grade. So I was a spectator in those games. And it's, I've been thinking about that a lot and all the experiences I had as a spectator and how they will be different this time being a participant. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, great. Well, good luck, and good luck to you, Wiggy, in the stands. I think it'll be more stressful for you than anyone. And thank you for both of you for being with us. Rosie Brennan, coming to us from Austria, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you.
And Wiggy Brennan on the phone from Utah, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you very much. It was nice to talk to you.
All right. That's all for today's show. In our first segment, we heard from Eric and Sadie Bjornsson, and then from Mary Bjornsson and Angel Mankari, and then finally the Brennans. The person who lined up this amazing group of guests was Hannah Durrow, our talented assistant producer. Producer Eric Bork made the worldwide technical connections and edited the show. I'm Charles Woolforth. I'll see you outside.
Outdoor Explorer is a production of KSKA Public Radio in Anchorage, Alaska. Theme music is by Portugal, The Man. Views expressed are those of the participants and do not reflect the station or its underwriters. You can find Outdoor Explorer on Facebook and on iTunes. To see what's coming up on Outdoor Explorer and add your voice to the conversation, go to our website at alaskapublic.org.
Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.